Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on September 28th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer, executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing particularly well. I'm having a good time at the farmers markets. Things are good.
Nah. Oh, good, good. Yeah, this will. Didn't you just start? When did you start doing the farmers markets?
We really started in February of last year. This year. I'm sorry.
Okay.
February.
All right. So this will be your first. This is your first autumn. You know, you had the tail end of winter. You did the summer.
Yes.
And now we're going into fall. Are you seeing?
Yes.
Are you seeing an ebb and a flow to how it goes? Like more people out in the summer? Is fall that? What's it like? Is it a lot less people in the winter?
We have a lot fewer. I would say tourists visiting the beach because the beach is warm, and so there are tourists from Europe and other places in the world to the beach cities all year, but of course the height of that tourism is the summer. But the kids are back in school. So my Friday Hermosa Farmers Market, you know, it has that element to it that perhaps the kids will, you know, sort of pin down the parents and they'll start thinking about farmers markets and cooking and better nutrition and all that. You know, some of them, like Westwood Village on Thursdays, it's a block from Ronald Reagan Medical Center, a block from the UCLA campus. The kids are coming back. So we expect that market to continue to be strong well into the winter and through the winter because the kids are in school. When the kids are out for break, winter break, whatever, it'll be dead.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So it's in the summer when the kids are out of school, like the Hermosa Market, are they there? And now that the kids are back in school in the South Bay, not as many kids, but where you are in Westwood campus fall, they all go back. Okay. I got it. Oh, all right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Isn't that
yeah.
interesting? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
All right,
so
cool.
I'm excited. And there's so many amazing events that are going on to take place. Of course, I'm looking very much towards the Concours d'Elegance.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's this Sunday, is it?
That's this coming Sunday, I believe, yes. The at Zamperini Field on Zamperini Way.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. It's the same thing for me with what I do. Everything is seasonal. When you get into the fall, you know, summer, it's all about being outdoors and the outdoor concerts and the outdoor movies, you know, and there's all this outdoor stuff going on. And then once you get into the fall, you start getting the car shows and the fairs, you know, and it is. It's really funny. It's like there's a season for everything, you know?
Yeah, right, right. It is wonderful. I just wanted to say
it's funny because it all segues, and once you hit September, it's like I know that people don't want to hear this yet, but the holidays are coming. You know, I mean, the holidays are coming. Okay, it's not winter is coming. Winter is coming, but the holidays are coming, and right. this is the way it segues. It all goes very nicely. It flows very nicely. Just a few days, it's going to be October, right? And I guess technically speaking, Halloween isn't a holiday, right? But what would you call it? What is Halloween? It's a worldwide cultural culturally recognized event, day, thing.
My wife and I, our family, we've had a very, you know, young kids, it was a thing, but after that, we didn't have a real big relationship with Halloween. It's a big deal for people that are in the, you know, I want to say the hospitality industry, restaurants, hotels, and so forth. Halloween is huge.
Well, retail. Halloween
is
second only to Christmas in retail. It's huge.
It's huge. So it has, you know, I guess bookended the holiday season. There's October, the lead up to Halloween, and then there's Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. And
well,
those are the bookends.
Don't forget Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving is huge.
Yeah. There's all the stuff in between, but, you know, those are the bookends. And it's just, you know, it's 3 months of make hay while you can.
Yeah, well, I got news for you, Joe. Just because you don't have kids anymore doesn't mean you can't enjoy Halloween. I never had kids, and Halloween has always been big on my list. So I'm just saying.
But you love to dress up. You love to to go to costume parties and stuff like that. My wife has never been into that, really.
I adore finding a costume where, like, people not only don't realize it's me, but, like, they can't even tell whether I'm a man or a woman. Those are the costumes I love the most. Yes. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I have loved watching you and your costumes throughout the years. You have come up with amazing ones, yes. I would say you're really good at this.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about something else very much new and fun coming to the South Bay that might set a trend. I really do think it might set a trend for volunteer organizations to try different things to raise money. This is the key. There's got to be some kind of new thinking in the world of volunteer fundraising, nonprofit fundraising, and this might be one of the big ones. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Sarah Myers, President, CEO of the Volunteer Center, South Bay Harbor, Long Beach. Now, Sarah became the president for the Volunteer Center in January 2016, rejoining the organization after having previously served as program coordinator and office manager. In the interim, she served as executive director of the Long Beach Public Library Foundation for nearly a decade, where she was responsible for fund development, financial management, and board development. In addition to her nonprofit leadership experience, she also has a background in corporate communications, having spent 4 years in public affairs at the ExxonMobil Corporation. Now, true to the Volunteer Center's mission, Sarah is an active volunteer in the community. She is a member and Paul Harris Fellow of the Rotary Club of Long Beach, where she served as vice president and literacy chair. She is also the lead coordinator for the Campaign for Grade Level Reading Coalition in the Long Beach community and a champion for Milestone 2 of the My Brother's Keeper Initiative, both nationwide movements. Now, Sarah is a 2012 graduate of Leadership Long Beach and holds a BHA in Multimedia Communications from Carnegie Mellon University. She's a native of Torrance, California, and currently resides in Long Beach with her husband. Now, Joe, as you mentioned this morning, we're going to learn more about the Volunteer Center, which is located in Torrance, their mission and programs, and their new fundraising event, South Bay Escape Room Mortuary Mystery. Welcome to the program, Sarah. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you for introducing us to your organization, but also this new concept in really fun and it's kind of wacky and kind of different fundraising activity. Tell us first, though, about the organization. When did this organization begin?
The Volunteer Center actually started in the 60s, and it was a project of the Junior League of Long Beach. And back then, when people wanted to volunteer and they kind of got that spark, that idea that they wanted to help their neighbor, there wasn't Google or a really easy way to find a nonprofit and make that connection where they could dedicate their time and talents to some important community needs. So the Volunteer Center started, and they placed volunteers in local nonprofits that needed them. And now, 50 years later, our mission has stayed the same. We really are looking at addressing community needs, unmet community needs, with volunteerism, people's time and talents, and making that match.
Right, right. And this is just in general volunteers across the spectrum of volunteerism, old
yes.
and young.
Yes. Yeah,
tell us,
that's
tell
what
us
I
about
kind of,
some of
I'm,
the major categories.
Wait a minute. Is it like, for lack of a better word, is it like a clearinghouse for community stuff?
It's
community
a
needs?
Little bit. It's a little bit like a connection center. So we're
okay.
Our motto is we're at the heart of helping. So our job is to really make these connections with nonprofits. It is astounding how many nonprofits are in the area. It's over 3,000 in Long Beach and the South Bay. There's so many nonprofits that have these unmet needs, and then there are so many volunteers. And so right now we currently work with all types of volunteers. So you have the baby boom generation that are retiring. We've heard so many people say, you know, I'm kind of concerned about retirement. I'm not sure how I'm going to spend my day. If they only knew how many nonprofits need their talents and experience, they wouldn't have to worry. They will be kept busy every day. We've got the millennials who need that volunteering for college, for first job experience, leadership experience. And then we also do something kind of interesting. We have relationships with all of the local courts. So when someone has to do community service as part of their sentence, as a way of kind of doing that restorative justice, instead of doing jail time, they actually come through our centers. In addition to our headquarters in Torrance, we have 5 satellite offices all connected to local courts throughout Southwest Los Angeles. And so they actually come through us and make that match with local nonprofits, so that they can do their volunteer service, and then we can submit their certificate to the court. So, and we also work with companies and businesses that want their employees to do volunteerism as part of their corporate philanthropy. So, yeah, it's the entire family of all the types of volunteers that are out there.
Right.
That's an incredible resource.
Resource. Yes. Yep. And we have a database online where people can go on and say, you know, I'm free Saturday and I enjoy on Saturdays and I enjoy working with animals and I'm willing to drive like 11 miles away. And so nonprofits can place their volunteer opportunities on our website. And that's just last fall. So we're continuing to build it. Yeah.
That's amazing. It's an ecosystem of volunteerism.
Yeah.
The concept that you can say, oh, well, you know, I have 3 hours on Saturday. Oh, no, you know, I also have some time on Thursday, but I only want to work with young people. Or, this is interesting. This is new.
I have never heard anything like this. I have never heard of anything like this. Have you?
60 years?
We're
since
sort
the
of
60s.
we're sort of a best kept secret in the South Bay, and we're really trying to change that. So many people have seen the building or sort of maybe heard of it, but they thought it was just for seniors or they thought it was just for the courts, so they had no idea what we did. So I appreciate this opportunity to spread the word, because it's a really, really amazing resource, and it's interesting to think about the issues that surround volunteerism and where it's going in the future. And I'm pleased. I can tell you that I see it on the rise. I see that people want to kind of vote for the type of community that they want to live in locally, and they can do that by helping their neighbors and doing grassroots good deeds. And then that's how we say, this is the kind of neighborhood I want to live in. And so we've seen a real rise in local volunteerism and amongst the millennials. I'm really hopeful. This is a generation that understands about giving back. Now, granted, they love to do it with their, you know, with their phones and their selfies and, you know, on Facebook and social media and all that. But we embrace it and we say, you know, that's great. Let's meet them where they're at.
You know, Sarah, it's interesting because I'm one of those hands-on volunteers. I would rather go someplace and be there physically and do something as opposed to just like writing a check or something.
Yeah.
And we know that's important. We know the money is important, but I personally just prefer to get out there. And over the years I've done different things and got travel to different places to help out with stuff. And, a really good example was after Katrina, I was with the Habitat for Humanity, and I went down there for a couple of weeks to help demo houses. And we were in a camp that had 2,000 beds, all right? So 2,000 people. And
wow.
it was all college-age kids and seniors. There was a dearth of middle-aged people. And mm-hmm. and I noticed that. I noticed that right away. There was nobody, well, except for me. I was in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't a lot of 30, 40, 50-year-olds. And it took me a minute. You know, I realized it. It took me a minute to figure it out. And I was like, that's – people were living their lives. They had careers. They have children. So they didn't have the time to – walk away from their life for a week or two to help out. And it was, as I said, the college kids that were on break or seniors who didn't have, you know, the kids are grown, you know, they're retired or whatever. Is that changing? Are you seeing more? Cause you said millennials, I read the definition of a millennial was that they would have come of age about the turn of the century. So 18-20. So millennials are actually in their 30s and 40s now. Are mm-hmm. they involved? Are they filling in that gap?
I think it's a really astute observation that we do see that when they have their families, their careers at their height, there is a drop off. So it is sort of involved with their family. And what we're seeing is two things. Those groups really, really want to bring their very young children to do family activities together. And there's actually a dearth of appropriate family volunteer act, bring a very young child. And they want to instill that kind of values, their family values, at an early uh-huh. age. It's that very kind of slippery slope between entitlement and, hey, here's how other people look. So that's one of the things we're looking at is what types of volunteer activities are appropriate to bring even toddlers and the whole family to, and how can we continue to expand that? And it's also both the young professionals and the families want episodic volunteering. So like you said, they really want to wake up on Saturday and say, as a family, we'd like to do something this weekend. Whereas the nonprofits, they want sort of that more senior model where someone does a background check and signs on for 6 months to do it every Tuesday. And those two don't match where the volunteers are and what the nonprofits need. So it's one of those challenges we've been thinking about. We're in the midst of our strategic plan to kind of say,
wow.
How do you meet in the middle? You know,
that is fascinating. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
it is. I'm very much involved in the cryptocurrency space.
Okay.
Bitcoin and 1,000 other different digital currencies. And what you're describing, this kind of dissonance in the volunteer world is happening in the financial services world, as baby boomers are there's what 10,000 we've talked about often 10,000 people turning 65 every day and will be for
wow.
the next 15 years. And
wow.
as people age and they think about retirement and they think about their finances and they think about, you know, the mix of investments that they have, they're also thinking about these new things like digital currencies, like Bitcoin and so forth. So now there's a company that will help you create an IRA where you can incorporate Bitcoin and transfer funds. And there's, I don't know how many billions of dollars or trillions almost in retirement accounts that might be coming towards the digital assets, the digital currencies. So that's going to be a huge influx. But
wow.
there's no regulation. There's no, you know, set way of doing it. It's like the Wild West right now. And what you're
sure.
describing is almost like the Wild West of volunteerism.
Yes. And I think it's interesting that you bring up financial and technology. One of the things that we've been thinking about is the fact that you have these seniors, and they're often sometimes in, they're in retirement places, homes. They love where they live. I mean, you look at kind of the areas, the peninsula, the South Bay, all these areas, and then you have these pockets of just deep need, and it's hard to get the youth to meet the mentors into those neighborhoods, and it's hard to get the seniors sort of out of their home. So how can online technology and kind of FaceTime and all these new technologies virtually allow seniors from the comfort of their retirement, you know, homes to mentor these youth who desperately need it and make these connections and break down these physical barriers? So that's also something we're thinking about, you know, and it's the Wild West, I think. We're the greatest generation's model for helping is old, and so how can we regenerate it for a new millennium?
Oh, Sarah, I have no time, but I want to be involved. None. I have zero time. Don't call me.
At the Volunteer Center, it's anywhere that you are volunteering is the right place for you to be volunteering. So we're always happy to hear that someone's volunteering. It doesn't matter where it is. All we say is just find something you're passionate about. So I'm thrilled to hear you're both volunteers.
I'm passionate about the process. I'm passionate about the technology. I would love to help you figure out how to use tools like join.me. Some people may know of these technologies, join.me. It's a website,
okay.
It's a tool that allows you to see someone else's computer, or they can see your computer, and you can be on the phone, and you can describe and talk about you know, whether it's a website development or design, or maybe you're just talking about planning. And you've got Excel open, and you're planning your coming semester of school and work and all that. There's a lot of opportunity here for someone that's sitting at home to not leave their home, but maybe mentor someone. Maybe they were an accountant, and they could help people, you know, balance their books or something online. This is awesome.
Yep. It's exciting. The possibilities are really exciting.
But now, attaching some kind of tool, and cryptocurrencies, digital currencies are tools, to this so that maybe even they could charge, you know, this is the watchword, the word in the digital currency space is micropayments. So what if someone could do that and they charged a penny a minute, or a nickel a minute, or something like that for these kinds of services? They'd make a little. The other person wouldn't pay a lot, and yet there would be an exchange of value, and in aggregate, it could be a lot of money.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm.
Joe,
that takes a little volunteerism out of it. You're missing the point.
I think actually it's the tool in the middle. So obviously we wouldn't charge the seniors necessarily, definitely wouldn't charge the students, but someone who is behind this technology could be making a little money, and there are grants out there where, you know, you're bringing these two groups together. And I have to tell you, when I saw we did a volunteer activity that brought veterans together with very young high school students. And I have to say, volunteering also is breaking down the barriers of communication. So these kids are always in their phones, and they've kind of lost the art of just discussion. And I had said, you know, there was a veteran sitting alone at a table, and I said, why don't you go over and make conversation? Oh, I can never do that. I'm not good at that. I had 20 seniors in high school. None of them were willing to go over. Finally, so I left them alone, and I thought, wow, we've got to work on this. And two of them finally went over, and he was a Purple Heart Korean War vet, a chaplain, and they would have missed that entire rich experience if not for volunteering, if not for kind of jumping out of their shell, getting off their phones, and having that interaction. So I think it's powerful. I think it's really powerful.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
This is so much bigger than I imagined at first. I mean, VOL, volcenter.org. I knew that it was an umbrella organization that could provide volunteers for any other organization or activity, but you're now thinking about breaking the old model and extending it into social media space, potentially extending it into other avenues. This is really much bigger than I imagined at first.
I got to ask, Sarah, I don't even know how to say this. Are there other volunteer centers around the country, or do you stand alone, or are you part of a bigger?
It's a great question.
Do we lose Sarah?
No.
No.
Yes,
are you
now
there,
we can.
Sarah?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. We can.
Okay. So the overarching private organization is called Points of Light. Some people may have heard it. It started in the Bush administration. They are kind of the parent organization that a lot of volunteer centers are members of. And so, yeah, volunteer centers, you'll find them in every major city, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, of course, in the South, the South of Texas. All of the South has always been really involved in volunteerism, but all the volunteer centers are kind of riding this wave of change. So the model that we've had for the last 50 years, you're seeing a lot of volunteer centers closing, you're seeing them rebrand and change their name. Our counterparts here in Southern California are 1OC, if you've ever heard of them. They're our counterpart in Orange County, and LA Works is our counterpart in LA. And both of them did kind of what we have done, where they started as volunteer centers, they rebranded, they changed their name, they got into the corporate space and training and volunteering. So it really is a very kind of different change. And I just got back from the Points of Light holds conferences every year. We're seeing great things from corporations like Disney and B of A, and lots of support in the area. There's a brand new group called the Civic 50, which is the top corporations that have put philanthropy and volunteerism at the forefront of their corporate philanthropy. So it's a space that luckily there are people who have gone before us, but there's still a lot of room for new ideas and trying to figure out how to be sustainable and how to make money while you're continuing this mission.
Right.
Joe, you know what's amazing is, as Sarah said, this place has been around, the volunteer center has been around for 60 years, but it just seems to me that years ago, volunteerism, places of worship, picked up a lot of the slack, you know, people that fell through the cracks and stuff. I'm trying to remember, there was a church where I grew up, St. Paul or something, St. Vincent, but basically like they would bring a Thanksgiving dinner to families. You know, they would provide toys for kids at Christmas, and I'm blanking on the name. But now fundraising and volunteerism is, it's a career now. It's a whole industry. It's an industry now. It's very interesting, isn't it?
It is. And it's interesting, especially with the younger generations. You see a lot of grassroots GoFundMe, the ability to just, if 1,000 of us or 100,000 of us all get together and donate just a little bit of money, we can move entire causes forward.
Right.
And there's
right.
usually both aspects. So it's that simple act of kind of giving back, but then adding a little bit of money to it. And it really has changed. It really has changed.
It has. Joe, listen, let's do a station break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about this event. It's actually starting today. I'm very, very excited about this. So I want to get to it.
Yes.
So let's do that
yes.
station break.
Let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're having an amazing discussion about the world of volunteerism. And of course, we're talking about the Volunteer Center, South Bay Harbor, Long Beach. It's an old organization, but since the 60s, I guess, at the heart of helping. And who best to guide us through these waters? Sarah Myers, President and CEO of the Volunteer Center. We will get back to that discussion in just a moment, but we'd love to have your comment or question. If you are involved in volunteerism and this conversation excites you and you happen to be listening live, please give us a call at area code 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. Please join in and volunteer your comment or question, because it's all about volunteerism. We're back with Sarah. Sarah, this is quite a unique event. Tell us about what is it called?
It's called South Bay Escape Room Mortuary Mystery. So we are
just the name is
really
exciting.
We're really excited about this. As we talked about, there is so much noise in the fund development and fundraising space, and you can count. Right. There are just countless dinners and banquets and auctions and luncheons and all of these events.
Walks and runs are big.
So, I mean, the calendar is just chock full. And when we kind of came into this space and we were looking at the South Bay calendar, you know, if it's a creative dinner or banquet or something, it's been done. And so it's very hard to figure out what a nonprofit that's kind of reinventing itself like us is. Where is our niche? Where are we going to do something that with this donor exhaustion is actually going to have a chance at making money and for a good cause, but not have, you know, the corporations have to buy yet another table and fill it and figure this all out. So escape rooms, for those who are new to this, escape rooms were actually started in Europe. The very first one was in Japan in 2007. It spread quickly to parts of Russia and Germany. And they've only been in the United States really since about 2010, 2012. It is one of the fastest growing industries. And now there are thousands. And what it is it's really unique. So you go to a location, many times it's places where the rent is reduced. You go into a room that is themed. So it might be, I've been to a room that's Titanic themed. I've been to a wizard room. I've been to a zombie room, right? So there's different themes, and it's very immersive. And you and your friends, a group of people, have 60 minutes to solve all kinds of puzzles. It can be strategic, it can be math, it can be mechanical, it can be visual, it can be something you have to find. Really using your brain, using your teamwork, using your communication, it's fantastic for team building. And you have to put all these puzzles together, find everything you need, solve whatever challenges in front of you, and quote-unquote escape the room before the 60 minutes is up. And it's something that is just a phenomenon. Young professionals, families, people are just having so much fun. And I have to tell you, they are addicting. Once you do one, you kind of want to do it, and you want to do it better each time. And so we were looking at that, and there are dozens in Los Angeles, but you usually have to drive to downtown L.A. And I thought to myself, you know, how is it there's not one yet in the South Bay or Beach Cities? And that's when I love them, my family loves them, and I thought maybe we could try building one as a fundraiser. And that's where it started.
Oh my gosh.
Now,
she said the magic words. She said the magic words, Joe. You have to drive to it, right?
Yeah. It's very
And I do have to say the very first experience I had, my brother has actually done over 200 rooms. So he is a veteran. When we go to flight, we flew out of a Vancouver on a cruise. We did 3 rooms in Vancouver. It's a great thing when you travel. You can look up escape rooms and just do that on while you're traveling. But the first one I went to, literally, they took our cell phones, you know, they took our keys, locked them up in a locker. They had thick Russian accents. You know, it was this very shady place in L.A. And I literally looked at my brother and I said, this is everything your mother says not to do. Like, if I didn't know this is an actual phenomenon, I would say this is not what you should do. So I think what I found is everyone I've talked to has said, oh, my gosh, I want to try one of those. But you really have to know that you can come to a place you can trust, you can be safe, your belongings can be safe, you know. And it's great. The industry is great. But if it is your first time, you kind of want your hand held by someone who's been down that road. And so that's what we're offering the South Bay community, is that this is a nonprofit. You know, it's a great place, and you know you'll have a good time for your first experience.
Well, what's unique about your event, Sarah, is – This is actually taking place in the building that...
Yes. So we own a historical landmark building right in downtown Torrance. And it is, fascinatingly, it was a premier mortuary that opened in 1929. In February of 1929, we were on the front page of the Torrance Herald. And literally anyone who passed away in that Torrance-Lomita area in the 30s, you can look at all the obituaries, and they often went through, almost all of them through, it was called the Stone and Myers Mortuary. And Charles and Bessie were husband and wife. They lived there. They were part of the American Legion. They had bridge clubs. Their apartment was upstairs. And then this was just really a premier mortuary of the 30s. And so imagine.
White and Myers? Did she say White and Myers?
No, Stone. Stone and Myers.
Mortuary. What I want to focus on
Myers?
Is the mortuary is downstairs, but their apartment is upstairs.
Yes, so that's often, if you know families, many times families who own mortuaries, they actually live in the mortuary. So there was a separate entrance for the family and the apartments. And this is still today, many families, a lot of them are company owned, but if they are family owned, there's usually, they're close by their business, and they would live one place and then do their work in another place. So, but it's all in the same building. So yeah,
Dad,
fascinating.
I haven't had a date in years. None of my boys will come to my house to pick me up.
I can tell you the family, I grew up in Torrance, and our homecoming king was the son of the mortician, and he lived at a local mortuary. So actually the families are great. They're usually very popular. So yeah, it's a little unusual, but you know, everybody has a business and a talent, and it's not nearly, I think, as creepy as you might think.
It's a steady business. I guess it's a steady business.
Yep. Absolutely.
Unless
so,
people stop
so
dying,
thought,
there's not, you know.
Yeah, we thought, okay, you know, now, of course, the building has been through 2 remodels, but it still has this unique history. And so what's happening is we took a part of our basement, and as the story goes, you arrive as volunteers to do some volunteer service, and we have a special volunteer activity for you. And it's historical reality meets a lot of fun fiction. And so we've uncovered, there was a wall that fell away, and we believe that it's Charles Meyer's office in the 1930s, and that's the area where the puzzles start. And so there's teams of six. It's an hour long, and we're actually running them, so it starts tonight. We're running them two sessions Thursday nights, two sessions Friday nights, four sessions on Saturdays, and two sessions on Sundays, all the way through Halloween weekend. So there's tickets are on sale, and there's plenty of opportunity to come and try it out. And it's really interesting. And to our knowledge, no other nonprofit in the nation has ever tried an escape room as a fundraiser. This really is unique.
Yeah. Jackie, sometimes I marvel at your ability to ferret out, to suss out somehow to get the most unique things ever that exist in the South Bay. Now, Jackie, you're taking this to a whole new level. This is unique in the nation. This is crazy.
Joe, it's what I do.
It's what you do.
It's what I do. But you know,
oh my
God. You know what the key to the success of my website is that what? If I'm interested in it, my audience will be interested in it. It's a curated website, you know, and this podcast, you know, I've been doing it as long as the website, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So, I ferret out this stuff. I'm always looking for the new stuff, the exciting stuff. I'm interested in it. Trust me, my audience is going to be interested in it. And I am interested in this.
Okay. So Sarah, there are so many things to geek out on this about, but I'm going to start with the one that interests me most is that there is a multi-billion-dollar industry that is focused on how to maximize value in the holiday season. And what you've done is you've come up with a concept that will allow you to raise funds for a month. In the entire month of October, bringing people fun and interest, drawing them together with their friends in community, and then introducing them to the concept of volunteerism, where they may know a neighbor that's a shut-in or that needs help. They may know a neighbor that is retired and is bored. All of these people that come that have fun are going to know people that are going to want to get involved. Your center is going to explode in it's a really, really good idea.
Thank you. We've learned a lot. Definitely a risk. There is no template for this. You know, I've contacted our auditors, our insurance agents. I mean, it's definitely been quite a process, but we're excited by it. And I think, like you said, people are going to have so much fun and the word will spread.
My wife has told me that I should stop using this analogy because it's somewhat insensitive, but the pioneers get the arrows.
But you're going to do it anyway, right? You're going to do it anyway, right, Joe?
Of course. Yeah, I had to do it because you get the sense that you're first. You're going to discover things that people after you will never even have to deal with, but you're discovering
first. The one that I like is the early bird gets the worm.
The early bird?
The early bird gets the worm. Have you heard that one?
Sarah, I'm sorry. Your audio has gotten muffled. It's
can
not
you hear me
disconnected.
Now?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. The early bird gets the worm. That's the one that I always use. That might be a little more PC.
No, that's less insensitive.
No, I get. You're right. You're right, Joe. I get it. The pioneer gets. I totally get that. But I got to tell you, Sarah, what you were telling us at the beginning of the show about, or not the beginning, but a while ago, you were telling us that you've been doing these escape rooms for years. Your brother has done a bunch of them.
Right.
So So basically what that does is, so this is your first time doing this, and it's Halloween, and it's a mortuary, and it's fabulous. But if this is a success, if this is a huge success, you could do this for any, you could do it during the holidays. You can design
right.
another escape room.
Right.
You know, have,
so,
a,
right.
have a different theme. If people like do it once and they're like, oh, this is great, I want to do it again, you can just keep coming up with different themes.
Yeah,
right.
And the great news for the South Bay is that when you try this as the first one, we were, of course, hoping to be the absolute first one, but I can tell you there is one that just opened a little further 4 miles from us 2 months ago. I've done it. It's great. And then we just did beta testing with a group that's opening one next month close to Torrance. So the neat thing is we were right, and they are coming. It'll only be a matter of time before some open in the beach cities and more in the South Bay. So once you do one, there will be more options, and it's great the industry supports each other. And then we're thinking about, I think the future for nonprofits is social enterprises. So how can you run potential businesses to create income so that you can continue to do the good deeds that you do? And so we are looking at that. Is that a model for us? Could we, of course, when you build one of these, it takes an intense, we've been working on this 9 months, so it's no small thing. I mean, you build, you know, the walls, the puzzles, the logic, you test and test and test. So the question is could we run this longer? Could we run it November and December and things like that? And we're working with our audit and tax. There's no template for this, so we're trying to figure out ways we might be able to do it, but it's a pilot. So you start somewhere.
You know, Joe, it's interesting. I love learning about these new things. I mean, it's not new. As Sarah said, it started in Japan years ago, and it's been hot all throughout Europe for years. But there was another thing that's been happening the last couple of years. Big in downtown L.A. Because we've gone downtown L.A. to, like, have lunch or something or do something down there. And they close off streets, mm-hmm. and there are people running around, and there are teams. And it's a hunt. What do you call
yes.
it? A what
relay.
Do you call it?
It's a big relay, like a relay scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Scavenger
and,
hunt.
And
yes.
Scavenger hunt. Yeah, that's it. And those have been big for several years. So this
right.
is similar in that form, bringing it to the next thing. And it's so interesting, Sarah, what you were saying earlier. You called it, what'd you call it, charity exhaustion. I call it fundraiser fatigue because
yes.
There's so many fundraising events in the South Bay. We cover all of them, Joe. Right? I mean, we've had pretty much every nonprofit on the show over the last 6 years, and everybody needs the support. But by coming up with something new and unique, it gets people excited. Boy, this is going to be something. This is going to be now. If you want to do it, you have to go online. You have to register because
yes.
there's only certain sessions on certain days.
Yes.
So tell us where people should go to sign up for this.
So it's at our website. You can go to VOL Center, so volcenter.org/escape room, all one word. And speaking of the donor fatigue, I do want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. So Bank of America came on as a major sponsor, Griswold and Griswold Insurance, a great local insurance agent, and Steve Wilson
oh, yes,
and Brenda Williams. So we have some
Steve Griswold.
Really incredible
yeah.
sponsors. Yeah, you know,
yeah, we've
yeah,
had...
he's been amazing. He's helped on our planning committee. He does our insurance, which is, of course, a really important part of this whole process. So, yeah.
He's been on our show.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Steve has been on our show. And his dad started the agency, I don't know, in the 60s or something. They are so incredibly – they are like that family mortuary, only they live above an insurance agency.
Yes. So you can buy the tickets through Eventbrite. It'll show you we've already got several sessions that have sold out. So if you're thinking about it, I would suggest don't wait. The good news is even if you don't have five family members or five friends, you can buy two tickets and you'll meet some friends when you arrive. So I've done escape rooms where then I showed up and I met some new strangers and we all got out together. So We also have a couple of slots for local businesses. So again, this is really great team building. You learn to appreciate each other's talents. You learn to communicate under stress. And you learn to have fun together. So we do have some corporate slots that we're willing to kind of work. We have a big community room, and so you can do kind of a meeting and a little bit of a debrief and all of that. So it's it's going to be really exciting.
So how much are the tickets?
They are $35 each, which is definitely the going rate when you do escape rooms. They're usually between $30 and $40, so we're right there in that middle sweet spot. We do still have some sponsorships available and suggested donations. And you can just – there's $35, and then there's a little processing fee. So other than that, not too bad when you look at, you know, normal galas being $150. This is a great way to give back because we're reaching so many people.
And it's 5 weeks only.
Yeah,
5 weeks. Right now, until I can figure out the tax
$35 for the
code.
Whole 5 weeks?
No. So you'll come for one session. So you select a session.
You can
come Friday night. We've got a group coming in tonight. So yeah, you just pick your session and come in. So it's a really you'll have so much fun. And then you can debrief. There's a lot of we're working with the restaurants in downtown Florence to get a discount. So you can go out to dinner and then, you know, just debrief and talk strategy and then plan your next one.
I'm doing it.
It is hard. It is a challenge. We did not go easy. So the good news is there are clues, unlimited clues. So when you really get stumped, if you've never done one, it's going to be an outside the box thinking. So so come prepared and bring your smartest friends.
Okay, now this is what makes me nervous. Okay, so you come with your friends, right? You got to go online. You got to register. You got to get your day and time. You show up with friends. You go into the room. You have to do all of these challenges, right?
Yep.
And you have 60 minutes to get out. Now, what happens if you fail? Are you stuck in the room for the rest of your life?
Thank you for bringing that up. There's two things I want to say. We've done this to age 14 and up. So, and we have kept this spooky and classy, but not gory. So I do want to say that. If you have listeners who are like, oh, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I don't like haunted houses. This is not my thing. I do want you to know it's spooky. You're not going to see body parts. We've kept this really kind of more about the challenge of the puzzles than about anything, any kind of gore or horror, right? So that's one thing.
Okay.
The other thing is you are not actually locked in the room. So there are emergency exits. You can leave at any time, but of course the fun in the game will be over and you'll have to stop doing the puzzles, but your friends can go on. So if somebody says, you know what, I just feel claustrophobic, I just want out, you can leave at any time. So, yeah.
So if you don't finish all the challenges in time, it's not like there's a trap door and you're just going to fall through
and nobody
will ever see you again.
You will not be stuck in our basement forever. And we'll have leaderboards for those that are competitive. So it'll say, you know, who has the best time with one hint, with two hints. And so, you know, there's lots of great South Bay competitiveness. I know all the companies want their names on those boards. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Oh, I am so doing this. I am so doing this, Joe.
Right. It is amazing. It is a great idea.
You know,
it's fun. What?
I'm a puzzle person. I've always been a puzzle person.
Yeah.
You will love it. And we had the thing I'm most proud of, we had two couples that have done 50-plus rooms between, each of them had done 50-plus rooms, and they did one of our puzzles, and they literally looked up and said, this is fantastic. And so, you know, when you impress the veterans, it's fantastic. And I just have to say thank you to the entire team. Talk about volunteering. I mean, we had mechanical people, engineer people. We had people with CAD drawings. We had people with who understood locks. We had all kinds of volunteers come together and advise us on the storyline, on the puzzle. So I'm thrilled. I'm so proud. I could not have done this without such an amazing team of volunteers. And how fun
I have
to volunteer.
I have to geek out again about what you do, Sarah. Not only is the Volunteer Center an overarching umbrella organization for volunteerism of all kinds, but you can utilize the talents of mechanical engineers, software developers, locksmiths. You can use the talents of the entire economy to add to the value of these puzzle rooms. This is incredible.
It's pretty amazing. We have all the best volunteers at our fingertips. So anything we think of course, we can then, you know, dip into the pool of volunteers that are helping all these local nonprofits
what do we need
make it come
this?
Together.
We need a physicist. We need a quantum physicist. Let's find one. Oh, my God. That's incredible.
What's fun about being at the heart of helping is, everybody has a skill. If I could tell your listeners one thing, you have a talent, you have a skill, and the world needs you. And so what I love is that spark when you wake up and you think, I want to help someone. Our job is before you lose that kind of great feeling and that action, because sometimes it can be so frustrating. Well, I don't know who to call. I don't know where to start. And then, you know, you go grocery shopping and you forget about it. We want to be there when you have that spark to really try to get your mind going, because chances are there is an amazing nonprofit that you did not know existed that needs your times, your talents, your skills. So, yeah.
Right.
It's incredible.
I am really, really impressed with what your team has done. And I think that this will serve the volunteer center very well into the future. You know, we don't want to think about that, but I mean, long after you're gone, what an impact you have had as a CEO president. You will have really given the volunteer center something that it's endless and it'll never die. This is great.
Thank you. Thank you. And I definitely, my predecessor was there for 29 years, so I definitely got handed an amazing ship, a wonderful legacy. And so, yeah, I've just been trying to figure out new ways to kind of continue that legacy. So thank you.
Right.
Okay, everybody. All right. Everybody.
Okay.
The South Bay Escape Room Mortuary Mystery. It starts today, the 28th of September, and it runs through October 29th. They have times available on Thursday night and Friday night, Saturday and Sunday only, all right? It's $35 per person. Ideally, you want a team of five. If you can't get five, they will match you up with other people, so you have a group of five. There are only so many slots before the end of October. So if you want to do this, go to the website. The volcenter.org, V-O-L, short for volunteer, volcenter.org. Go on, register, do it now, because I know this is going to sell out. This is going to sell out.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
my God.
Thank you.
It sounds like more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I want to see both of you there.
Now, I love this concept of metaphors that go out of favor, like a barrel of monkeys. That's fun, kind of. But, you know, some animal rights activists might say, oh, well, we don't want to talk about a barrel of monkeys.
To hell but, with the animal activists. I'm sorry.
Fine. How about this,
it's going to be more fun than a barrel of monkeys. I'm saying it.
State educators are talking about removing the missions project from all California.
I've heard this.
Because of its insensitivity to the, let's say, the slavery that ensued from the coming of the settlers. And,
okay,
the missions
all right. And
project.
They want to. And they're changing Columbus Day. Okay, whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. Go to the South Bay Escape Room Mortuary Mystery, and you're not going to worry about that stuff anymore, okay?
Before it's banned. Go to participate in the escape room before it's banned.
Give us, what's the address, Sarah? What's the address?
It's 1230 Cravens Avenue. They're in Jonestown, Torrance, 90501. And, yeah, it's fallcenter.org, and you can get there even faster if you do /escape room, all one word. There's a nice calendar.
Right.
It'll tell you which ones are already sold out. We've got wait lists going. And, yeah, don't wait because, I hope as many people as possible experience it.
All right.
Sarah
let's
Myers.
Wrap it up.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
This is fun. Go. fallcenter.org.